Not because I'm preaching it, because it's God's word. Let's open our Bibles to Acts 2 and verse 4. Some of you might know where the book of Acts is, somewhat familiar with it. Praise God. Acts 2, 4. Everybody's in a serious mood tonight, Brother Thomas. I'm in trouble. Tired, I guess. Acts 2, 4. Read it with me. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, God, let your Spirit fill this place. Fill each one of us, O God. Let everyone who's hungry, everyone who's seeking, everyone who's repentant tonight, O God, be filled with the Holy Ghost, O God. If it be the thousandth time, let every one of us, O God, receive your presence, your touch, your anointing. You are here in this place, O God, and help us to not take for granted the presence of the Holy Spirit and honor you, God, with our praise, with our worship, and with our prayer. And we'll give you the glory and the honor and all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven." Everyone say suddenly. Suddenly. Notice, the Bible says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and then it says, suddenly. Now, there's an indication here that there's an expectation. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, it was a special day in the calendar of the Hebrew nation of Israel, 50 days after the Passover, from the first day of unleavened bread, was when they celebrated Pentecost. It commemorated the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. They called it the Feast of Weeks because it was 7 weeks and then the following day after the beginning of the Passover. They also called it, I can't read my own writing. Well, they call it the Feast of Weeks anyway. Joy of the Law, that's what they called it. The Joy of the Law. So there was a connection on this day to Sinai, to this day in their history. It was the Feast of Weeks. It was a remembrance of what God had done in the past, but also what God was doing then, that once again they had celebrated the Passover, and that once again they were still a people, and they remembered the day that the law was given on Mount Sinai. At the Passover, the Israelites were delivered from Egypt. They were delivered from the death angel. It passed over them. They took the blood of the lamb and they put it on the doorposts. And those houses that obeyed the word of the Lord, the death angel passed over them. And immediately afterwards, the Pharaoh then allowed the Israelites to go free from Egypt. It was a special day in their history, a day they would always remember. And then that brought them to the place where they approached Mount Sinai, and there at Sinai, they received the law from God. Moses received it from God in person and delivered it to the people. And most people recognize this as the actual beginning of the nation of Israel. When they left Egypt, they were just a group of slaves that were fleeing their masters. But here after Sinai, now they were a people. They were a nation. They had a set of laws. They had a structure. They had an identity. Jesus is our Passover lamb. The Bible says that. He did not just set a people free from an oppressive state, but he set all humanity free from the slavery of sin. Whosoever will, the Bible says. Our Passover lamb was slain on a hill called Calvary. His blood was shed for us. It's fitting that Jesus was crucified during the Passover week, because he was the one that all of those sacrifices were pointing to. He was the real Passover lamb. All of those other animals, all of those other sacrifices were symbolic. They pointed to, they identified how God would do it. But Jesus fulfilled the plan of God. Not only did he die on a cross, but he was buried in a tomb for 3 days. And on the third day, the Bible says that he rose from that tomb. And on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the beginning of the Passover, 47 days after the resurrection, the Bible tells us that the Holy Ghost was poured out upon the church. They were all with one accord. Everyone say with one accord. In one place. Amen. We know that the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in his name, he will be in the midst of them. Sometimes I wonder if it's that we're all in one accord, or if there are just two or three of us that are gathered together in his name. Praise God. God wants to do a work in this last day. He wants to do a work in our hearts and in our minds. He's doing a work here at Calvary Gospel Church. He's doing a work in the city of Madison. I like what Brother Grant had to say about the fact that he believes that God can turn this city around, that he can turn it back to the way it should be. It's upside down now. God gave the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, on the same day that commemorated the giving of the law. You see, Sinai was the birthday of Israel as a nation. But Pentecost was the birthday of the church. Hallelujah. They had the law, and it only proved that we could not live up to it. So God gave us a new birth, a new birthday, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. Now there's a new definition of God's people. It's those that have been bought by his blood, those that wear the name of Jesus Christ, those that have been filled with his Holy Spirit, those that have experienced Pentecost. Suddenly, the Bible says, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. But long before that day, long before it suddenly happened, God had a plan. Long before the day of Pentecost, even before the first Pentecost, even before the law was given, God had a plan. God had a plan. But to them it was suddenly. To them it was an overnight success. Look at Luke 21:34. I don't think anything takes God by surprise. Amen. Jesus is speaking in Luke 21:34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. He's talking about the return of the Lord. He's talking about the day of the Lord. Depending on how you read this passage, he may be talking about the rapture, or more likely he's talking about the tribulation period. Some people believe he's talking about the return of the Lord at the end of the tribulation period. However you apply the scripture, the warning is the same. Take heed, lest that day come upon you unawares. Now, how do we take heed? Is it by listening to the latest prediction on when Jesus is coming back? Brother Russell showed me something yesterday, probably stealing his thunder for some message that's coming up, but he had a note in his Bible from, how long ago was it? 2004. And he had a part of a message, I think it was, wasn't it? And it was an object lesson and a message, and it was quoting a guy who was predicting the day on which the Lord was going to come back in 2004. And when I read the blurb, I saw the name and I said, is that the same guy? He said, yes, it's the same guy. The same guy that made the papers, the same guy that made the news, the same guy that the whole country was paying attention to in 2011. Now the date is in October, is that right? He changed the date to October? Same guy predicting it. 2004, 2011. He must have trouble with math. That must be his. Is that how we prepare? Is that how we make sure the day does not come upon us unawares? Even the prophecy experts, even the people that we have confidence in as teachers of prophecy, they know better than to claim the date. They can't. There's no firm agreement on even when the tribulation is going to start or when the rapture is going to take place. So how do we prepare? How do we make sure? Some people think that they have some kind of spiritual alarm clock. They live their lives as if they're somehow going to know that when the time is right, they're going to get right with God, and then I'll make it in just in time. Somehow I'm going to sense that my day's coming, and I'm going to get right with God. Jesus said, no man knows the day nor the hour. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 3. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. When they say peace and safety. Look at the rest of that passage there in Luke 21, verses 35 through 36. For as a snare it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Everyone said all them. Watch ye therefore, and pray always. Say always. That ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. How do we prepare? How do we see that this moment does not come upon us? We watch and pray always. How do I make sure I'm ready for the coming of the Lord? I get right with God today. I get right with God tomorrow. I make sure that I'm right with God the day after that, and 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 the day after that, until the day when God does return, or I leave this earth. No man knows the day nor the hour. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. We all know that we're going to leave this earth one way or another someday. But for most of us, that moment will come suddenly. We may even be ill. We may be sick. We may have a condition. But none of us knows when that day or hour will come suddenly. The message says that without warning, there came a sound. Strong says that unexpectedly. Now, they were having a prayer meeting. Jesus said in Acts 1 and 8, let's look at verses 4 and 5. Let's go there. Acts 1, 4 and 5. Oh, praise God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. I've been telling you about it, he said. But John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Evidently, he gave them instruction. He said, wait for the promise of the Father. He had talked about the promise of the Father. He'd been giving them information, but somehow on the day of Pentecost, it happened suddenly. I don't think that they were waiting for a rushing mighty wind. I don't know that they understood exactly what was going to happen, except that God had given them a promise. And Jesus said, it's coming soon. Just hang out. Stay put. Be faithful. They knew God was going to do something. That's what I like being part of a Pentecostal church. You know God's going to do something. Praise God. They just didn't know what. They weren't sure, I don't think. Look at Acts 1, 1 through 3. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. 40 days. A crash course in Holy Ghostology. Somehow God was preparing them. Jesus gave them specific instructions. He said to wait. They were gathered together. The Bible tells us that there were about 120. And from our math that we do, we surmise that it was about 7 days that they were up there. Some people say 10, some 7. 7 day prayer meeting. I'll leave that for Brother Grant. Can you imagine waiting 7 days in prayer? Do you think they all stayed in that upper room all those 7 days? I don't. I really don't. Now, you can believe it any way you want. The Bible doesn't give us specific. I'm sure that there were some people that, you know, hopefully at least went home to take a shower or something. Or maybe they didn't have showers. Bathe. Or at least, you know, they passed around some lavender oil or something. We're talking about real people, aren't we? 120 of them in one room. And I'm wondering, I don't know how big the room was, but it probably wasn't as big as this. I think they were coming and going. And there may have been some that started out there that weren't there when it happened. Oh, I hate that feeling. When you want to be a part of something and you wait for it and then you just happen to not be there when it happens. I missed it. It says suddenly, unexpectedly. They had no idea when it was going to happen. But the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. I would have thought that somewhere someone would have had the idea that maybe there were 100 the day before and there were 120 on the day of Pentecost because a few of them thought, ooh, it could be tomorrow. Tomorrow's Pentecost. But then there were probably some that were there the day before that on the day of Pentecost they thought, well, I've got to go visit Aunt May or we're gathering at Grandma's house. And they missed it because it came suddenly. See, if we want God to do things in our lives, if we want things to happen suddenly, then we have to be faithful. We have to be consistent. We have to continue to wait on God. Wait for the promise of the Father, Jesus said. Amen. See, they didn't just stumble into the upper room. You know, they just didn't, hey, something going on up there. I think I'll go in there. No, they were waiting. They were praying. They were seeking God. But these same people, a lot of them had already been through some things. Acts 2 says suddenly, but think about it. Some of them had been there for the miracles. They saw Jesus perform miracles. So when Jesus said, wait for the promise, I'm sure some of them thought, this is going to be good. I'm hanging in there. I'm going to stay with this because this is the best thing going. How many of you feel like this is the best thing going? Some of them, however, had been in the boats in the storm too. Some of them had eaten the loaves and the fishes. Many of them remembered the empty nets that were filled all of a sudden after fishing all night long. Some of them were in the garden when the tomb was empty. Some of them were at the cross when he died. Now they had to wait. It's not easy to wait, is it? Oh, praise God. I feel God's presence right now. Let's lift our hands and worship him. Hallelujah. You can have the Holy Ghost right now, just like on the day of Pentecost. God's talking to our hearts here. God's speaking to us in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 Let's look at Acts 2 again. They're waiting. 7 to 10 days. People coming, people going. Who knows what kind of conversation they had? We don't even know if everything was, you know, if everybody was. The Bible says they were all with one accord. Can you imagine 7 days being cooped up with 120 people, and at the end of it, you're all in one mind and one accord? They had to have been with Jesus. Verse 4, and they were all filled. Everyone say all. All filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and they were confounded because that on every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Suddenly God was doing something he had never done before. They did not know what to expect. They had no idea how God was going to do it. They only knew that if they were faithful, if they were consistent, if they followed the directions that Jesus Christ had given them, and they waited on God, that he was going to do something different, something special, that there was a promise that he was going to fulfill in that place. Now suddenly there's a new sensation in town. There's something very different than anyone had ever seen before. 120 people all speaking in various languages. People from all over the then known world hearing them speak in their own tongue, knowing that there's no way that these people could have learned it. God had this in mind a long time ago. But to them it was a sudden event. It was something that they never expected. Look at verse 14 of Acts 2. Peter verifies this fact that this is what God had in mind. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose. They were acting so goofy, so wild that people thought they were drunk. Seeing it is but the third hour of the day, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this sudden occurrence, this wild sensation, this brand new thing, this, he says, is that. Everyone say this. Say is that. Those are very important words in your understanding of the book of Acts. This, these people speaking in tongues, these people that are speaking in your native language, even though they do not understand it themselves. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Praise God. This is that. Peter said God had this planned a long time ago. God has a plan for you. Whether this is the first time you've ever come into this building, whether you've never heard of Pentecost before, or whether you've been living in this thing for 50 years, God has a plan for you. I'm not talking about a plan for 100 years from now or 10 years from now. He does have that, but he's got a plan for you tomorrow. He's got a plan for you tonight before you leave this place. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for each and every one of us. God has a plan for me. Thank God. That just amazes me. The God of the universe. The God of all time and space. The God that lives beyond all time and space. He's greater than all of the universe that we can't even begin to comprehend where it begins and ends. That God, the one who created it, he's the one who has a plan for me. It says in the Bible that he has numbered the hairs on our head. Hallelujah. God had a plan. God had a plan. God has a plan for you and me. Before the day of Pentecost, before Jesus told his disciples to wait, before he went to the cross, before the Bible says that he was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, God had a plan. Luke 24 and Acts 1 talk about Jesus told the apostles to wait for the promise of the Father. We can tie that in with Acts 2:33, where it says that you will receive the promise of the Father, that this is the promise of the Father, Peter said. And Romans 4 and 13 identifies that promise of the Father with Abraham, which means that the Holy Ghost was promised back in Abraham's time. God had a plan. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. I don't know what you need tonight. I don't know what God has in store for you. But the chances are very good that you may not understand what it is he's going to do in your life. But we must wait on God. Wait. Jesus said, tarry here in Jerusalem. Maybe you're one of the few that has started a new job. Maybe it's a new marriage. Don't everybody look at Noah right away. Or Renee. Maybe God's laid a ministry on your heart. Mordecai said to Esther, perhaps God has called you to the kingdom for such a time as this. I think that's true of all of us. That's true of every one of us, young and old. God has called us to the kingdom for such a time as this. If you've never been in a Pentecostal church before, God has brought you here for such a time as this. God has a plan for you. Amen. Jesus said to his disciples that the Holy Spirit would lead them and guide them and bring all things to their remembrance, whatever things they had been taught. Now, it's a daunting thing to be faced with a new time in your life, a new position, a new job, a new relationship, a new home, whatever it is that you have in front of you. But the Bible says that they already had been given what they needed, and that it was just the power of the Holy Ghost that would bring to their minds the things that they had been taught. That's why on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up, he knew what to say. It wasn't because he was the brightest bulb in the box. It was because he had been called upon by God. And they had been prepared for 40 days and 40 nights. They had been with the Lord. They had been with the Savior. So that when he stood up and began to preach, he was only giving them what the Holy Ghost was revealing to him. God has a plan for you, and whatever endeavor he has placed in front of you, he will work in you and work through you to accomplish his purpose if you wait on him. Amen. But then there are those that may not have good news. Many of us are in the midst of the storm. I have no explanation for the storm. I've read that on Galilee, the Sea of Galilee or Lake Galilee or whatever you want to call it, the storms came up quickly. And evidently even people who were used to being on those waters could not predict when it was going to happen. They just came up quickly. They didn't have Doppler radar, I guess, in those days. And I have no explanation for the storms of life. All I know is that when I'm in a storm, it acts like a storm. It looks like a storm. And more than that, it feels like a storm. But notice that when the storm came up and they were on the lake, that Jesus was in the boat. The storm came up, but Jesus was in the boat. The point I'm making is that Jesus was in the boat when the storm came up. He was already in the boat when the storm came up. Jesus was in the boat. When the storm came, Jesus was in the boat. Now, just think. If you're one of those apostles, those disciples, and you're in the boat, what did they do first? The first thing they did was try to manage the boat. They tried to handle the storm. But Jesus was in the boat. And they tried to manage the storm, and they tried to manage the boat, but Jesus was in the boat. How are we going to manage the storm? How are we going to handle this storm? Jesus is in the boat. Go get Jesus. Go get Jesus. He's here. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus is in the boat. How's that song go? Sometimes he calms the storm. And other times he calms his child. Amen. There's no promise that the storm's going to quit. Now I know that in the gospel story, Jesus stood up and said, "Peace be still." But sometimes he says that to us. And the storm continues to rage. But if Jesus is in the boat, we're going to make it to the other side. He has a plan. When they got in the boat, he said, let's go over to the other side. Jesus has a plan for you, and he's in the boat, and we're going to make it over to the other side. He brought you this far. He's been faithful till now. Why would he stop at this point? He's still God, and he's in the boat. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Life comes on us suddenly. Things happen to us suddenly. That's why Dave Ramsey says you should have an emergency fund. Sorry, couldn't resist. We have no way of knowing what is going to happen tomorrow. We have no way of knowing what is going to happen on the way home tonight. There, just today in the news, there's just been some wild things, strange things happening. Just, and the people that those terrible events have happened to, accidents, things with buses and cars and when those people left their home in the morning, they had no idea that their day was going to be the worst day of their life. And suddenly, you may be here for the first time this evening, and I'm glad you are. Maybe it's the 100th time, maybe it's the 10th time. But I remember when I came into the Pentecostal church for the first time. It all was kind of sudden for me. Wow, I thought. But then I began to remember the things that I had come in contact with before that were Bible-related. All the way back to my grade school days, people had brought the Bible to me and told me things and invited me to Bible study. And I'd been to different churches and I'd heard about different things. And for somehow God had prepared me for that day. Suddenly, I'm in a Pentecostal church. Suddenly, Brother O'Neill is running around the auditorium. Suddenly, Brother Felix Crowder's coming down off the platform, and he's singing and dancing around in a circle, doing jump rope over the cord while he's doing it. Suddenly, I'm in a whole different world. But God had been dealing with my heart for years and years and years and years. And something inside of me said, oh, this is what I've been looking for. This is really different, and I don't understand what these people are doing. But this is what I've been looking for. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is not one thing that comes to you in your life that surprises God. Whatever your situation today, whether you're in the worst storm of your life or whether everything has just settled in and you're on a level plane and flying high, God knows all about it. He knows where you are, and he knows what will happen tomorrow. He has a plan for you. Praise God. Suddenly, God will be there when you need him. Suddenly, his Spirit will be poured out on you. Suddenly, the Word of God will come to you when you need to hear his voice. Suddenly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can meet with Jesus tonight. You can talk with the Lord before you leave. You can be prepared for every event if you will wait on the Lord and on the power of His might. Hallelujah. If you need healing tonight, I want to invite you to come and pray. We call this area down in front here, the altar. We call it an altar because it's a place of worship, and it's a place of surrender. We surrender our hearts, we surrender our minds, our wills to God. We surrender our needs. If you have a need, if you need healing, come in this side and we will pray with you. Pray for your healing. If you're struggling with something in life, just life itself, or you have an addiction or a dependency or an issue that you're struggling with, come down in the front here. Surrender it to God. Suddenly, the Holy Ghost will be here. Suddenly, you can hear from God. Suddenly, He can touch your life. Let God minister to you. You need the Holy Ghost tonight. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, if you need to repent from your sin, if you want to find out what this Pentecostal experience is all about, come on over on this side. Hallelujah. God has a new life in store for you. God will pour out His Holy Spirit and fill you up. Suddenly, you will be speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance, according to the Word of God, by the power of His Spirit. Hallelujah. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you.